Webster, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show where we discuss a topic that is both making news and newsworthy. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Debbie Gamble, VP of Digital Products and Platforms at Interact. Debbie, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure, Karen.
So the topic, which is clearly a hot topic, not just this week, but many, many weeks in financial services and payments, is open banking. And we're approaching Sibos, where the topic is certainly at a fever pitch. The implementation of PSD2 in the UK and many other initiatives that are both regulatory and commercially driven, designed to open access to consumers and banks with their information and giving innovators an opportunity to take advantage of that. So let's start with the basics, Debbie, from your perspective. What is open banking?
Well, I think, you know, the way that we really like to look at it is as a notion of an idea or a framework. PSD2 is probably a better example of the framework that really kind of empowers the account holder to decide, you know, how they share their data. And those of us in the financial services industry or the banking industry have been trying to get our head around what that means to enable the customers to do that, but to do it in such a way that, you know, doesn't kind of compromise some of the security or risk parameters that that frankly consumers expect the banks to kind of manage.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about what consumers actually perceive their relationship to that account data to be, but news this week in Canada, the Canadian Bankers Association released a warning. I mean, this is kind of a stern warning that suggested open banking is a really bad thing and not a fan. So how do you react to that?
You know, I think some of the kind of press characterizations of that is a little unfair. But I think what the CBA position does is it really suggests that we need more of a kind of managed open playing field, really, more about leveling the expectations and the requirements. So I wouldn't characterize it as the CBA or the banks or Canadians in the industry not being a fan. I characterize it more as, you know, great. In fact, in many cases throughout the position paper and, you know, some of the kind of articles on this in the press, it does, the CBA is welcoming advancing some of these elements to get to an more open banking, open payments capability. But I think what the paper does, and it's a review of a kind of framework that the regulatory bodies in Canada have put out as it relates to, you know, what does open banking mean to us. So it's really calling for the regulators to kind of take a look at things like investment restrictions and risk considerations, and the Bank Act in Canada as a whole, especially in light of emerging technology and the capabilities that amazing technology gives us. So I'd characterize it less as not being a fan and kind of more as, you know, for us to do this well, to do it effectively, there are some other things that we need to consider.
And I think that's a fair characterization. I know, you know, FIs here in the U.S. have expressed similar concerns. It is costly to open up access to particular areas of the financial services, you know, banking platforms, securing that data, which, as you pointed out earlier, is what consumers expect their banks to do. And particularly in this day and age with the clever cyber criminals that are out there, we can't be too careful, and we certainly can't ignore the risks associated with what happens if something were to happen, and then who's responsible if it does. So how are you thinking about this, and the banks that you are working with, how do they take this notion of open banking and think about implementing it within their own institutions?
So at Interact, and for those listeners around the world perhaps not familiar with Interact, we're the domestic debit network in Canada. And we kind of look at this through the lens of the institutions who we represent, but really with our consumers and businesses at the center of the experience. And we kind of look at the notion of open banking, I guess, in two ways. First of all, access to the financial information, and we kind of are looking at that through APIs more and more. And then secondly, around the shared services, particularly the kinds of services that we in Interact offer our member institutions that allows them, you know, to provide some rich, secure capabilities to their customers. So through that kind of that lens, we've been really kind of looking at how do we leverage the, as I said, the amazing technology that is available today to provide relevant services to the market. And I think data is probably at the center of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. So how are you thinking about it, and how are they thinking about it, and how are you together thinking about making something like open banking work?
So on the second point I mentioned, which is the shared services, we do that. I mean, one of the roles as a kind of network provider or a gateway, if you like, to the financial institutions and from the financial institutions into the consumer and business market. We do that today with a suite of services, and they're really around kind of directory or proxy identifiers that we use to manage fraud. So for our money movement capability that's called Interact eTransfer, we provide that kind of proxy capability that really allows for data abstraction. And that means that, you know, we can provide some fantastic services to consumers and businesses while also ensuring that the data is protected, and we do that on behalf of the financial institution. So that's kind of one way. And then the second way, which is probably a more recent kind of focus, certainly for us, is through open APIs. And so we started that journey a couple of years ago to kind of think about what we can do to look at our capabilities through an API lens and how we can ensure that we can allow constituents beyond the financial institution to access some of those assets in more of a kind of a collaborative approach.
Do you think that one of the obstacles with open banking, whether it's a regulatory mandate or a commercial exchange of value or commercial proposition, is the business model that makes it all work? You know, providing compensation to the banks that are making those services available while giving innovators and consumers the opportunity to take control of their data and use it in different applications that they may find interesting.
Yeah, you know, the elusive business model, right? as you know, in the kind of evolution of payment services, certainly over the last 20-odd years, there's been lots of conversations around, okay, well, why are we doing this? What's the business model? And I actually remember, being at a conference years ago in New York, talking about how will the mobile device actually enable banking. And I remember somebody standing up and saying, well, you know, the handset manufacturers were faced with this when they were starting to think about should they put a camera in a phone and the cost of putting a camera in the phone, and is there a business case for putting a camera in the phone? And without some of those bold moves, there wouldn't be, you know, there wouldn't be businesses today that are, you know, as large as Facebook without that ability to have a camera and a phone. You know, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp or many of those solutions. So the business model is not, you know, it's not something we can ignore. But I think we're, you know, back to the we're at the start of that journey. Our view at Interac is, and we're, you know, we're relatively a small company, so we depend on collaborating with industry players, and we depend on partnering with innovators. And so the API approach, besides it being the reality of the marketplace from a technical perspective, you know, that's a necessity for us to work with some bright minds to think about the kinds of new experiences that we can deliver into the market. And we need to be part of that. So that really is a kind of driver for us to ensure that we can allow the market to consume some of our capabilities in a secure fashion. This is people's money after all, right? And Interac is a debit good funds model. So that notion of push payments and access into the account is the core of our DNA. But we do absolutely believe that doing this through collaboration and open APIs is one tool for that is the way of the future.
The CBA is calling for changes in the way that or the prohibitions today that prevent banks from investing in fintechs and therefore perhaps creating new opportunities to innovate with fintechs. Where do you stand on that?
I think that, you know what, I'd welcome that conversation. You know, it's not a slam dunk at all, but I think the conversation absolutely needs to happen. Many of the institutions in Canada, financial institutions, and the networks, including ourselves, are working very closely with the fintech, the startup community. We're working very closely with, you know, some of the accelerators, and there's some amazing ones in Toronto. I'm sure you've seen lots of attention at Toronto being, you know, the one of the hubs of fintech around the world. So, but I think that, you know, there has to be a conversation, and it's twofold. It's not just to the benefits of the financial institutions, it's also to the benefit of, you know, the startup who wants to work with a bank, not just to access the data, but to work with them in a, you know, in a collaborative fashion that may require capital injection and a stronger tie from a relationship perspective. So I think that that's absolutely a conversation that needs to happen.
Well, for sure, and certainly for these startups, the distribution opportunities with banks and the ability to scale more easily is a real value. But let's talk about the stakeholder we haven't talked a lot about, the consumer. You know, I think it's funny because we all have banking relationships, and I think we all realize that our account data is ours. But do consumers really believe that it belongs to them, or do they think that it really belongs to the bank and they have permission to use it? What's your thinking?
I think that's an amazing question. I think it probably consumers think would agree with both of those points, to be honest. I think consumers believe it's their data. It is their data. It's our data, you know, as consumers. Of course it is. You know, my financial history is my financial history, but expect the banks, you know, to be able to manage the security of that data, the provenance of that data, so that, you know, the comfort around ensuring that you can actually transact without worrying about your ID being stolen, your account being hacked, your, you know, and as I say, when it, for us at Interac, This is a good funds access into your account. This is, you know, so that liability structure is very important. But back to your point about the customer, yeah, the trick for us in the industry is how do we maintain that? How do we maintain that relationship? How do we allow the customer to do what they need to do, whatever that is relevant to the, you know, to them, and ensure that we can maintain the trust? I think it's about that trust level, and that's where you know, financial institutions and entities like us at Interact, that's what the market expects from us. So there's probably a balance of things there, and you know, I guess I'd be remiss if I wasn't also to mention that on a personal note, I think there's also a role that the customer has to play here. You know, about maintaining their data as opposed to, you know, clicking the obligatory I agree button and not reading the T's and C's, and we're all guilty of that because, you know, we're used to the speed, ease, and convenience of just doing that. But I think there's obviously an opportunity for education here at the customer level as well.
I wonder how the unfortunate Equifax incident will change the conversation about consumer data ownership and their ability to opt in or opt out more easily. Obviously many of these conversations are still new and have yet to be fully developed, but you know, if data and trust is at the core of open banking, do you have any thoughts on how these macro events like the Equifax breach will influence those conversations and therefore the future of what open banking and related innovations like that might look like?
I think they need to influence it for sure. This is a reality of the industry. You know, the notion of whether it be data breaches or cyber attacks or whatever that is, that's not going away. It's the reality of our industry. It's what many organizations like ourselves pride, you know, ourselves on, being able to manage those risk elements. But I think it most definitely in the context of data and open banking, I think, you know, some of the recent events, they have to have an item of the discussion has to be about that for sure.
If you think about the future in Canada of open banking and where things stand today, do you think that things will move along as industry-driven frameworks and decisions, or do you see a regulatory mandate like we're seeing with PSD2 in the UK, and why one versus the other?
I think you'll see collaboration. In Canada, that's really the DNA of the Canadian industry, as opposed to pure regulation. It's kind of set the stage for how our industry works. I think if you were to talk to any of the bankers in the Canadian industry, you know, that's something we wear as a badge of honor. And I think, you know, the notion of the evolution of the fintech space and Canada being very active in that space will percolate some conversations that are at the front of this discussion. And so we're in a very interesting place in Canada that we have that history of collaboration. We have the history of conversations with the various regulatory bodies and associations and networks, whether that be us or, you know, Payments Canada or the various entities at the government level with the fintech industry. And so those conversations are happening, you know, all the time. I mean, this week there were a number of events in our industry around things like, you know, fintech sandboxes and what can we do to collaborate better and what does that mean from a data perspective. So I'm hopeful that as opposed to just a regulatory hammer coming down, that there will be continued conversation that will result in a more balanced approach that's best for the market and best for the consumer and the businesses.
I hope so. It's always better when there's a collaboration and consensus and then the degrees of freedom to take that framework and leverage it for the individual strengths and aspirations of financial institutions. Are there specific use cases that are driving interest in the open banking discussion in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be a little selfish here and talk about Interac. We're about to launch a number of enhanced capabilities with the financial institutions, and the privilege role that we play is connecting into all of the financial institutions that will allow for banks to offer easy interaction between third parties, interaction between businesses and consumers. And as you know, I kind of spoke at this at the Innovation Project earlier this year. We're very proud of our money movement capability, e-transfer, which, you know, has incredible growth. But we've got some really interesting use cases that are about to hit the market around enabling consumers to do some easy money movement and do that efficiently using things like social, et cetera, but do it securely through our e-transfer product. That means that they don't actually have to share personal information.
Are there things that you've taken on board as things to do or things not to do as you've observed the landscape of open banking around the world? You know, obviously driven by mandate in some areas and the collaboration or perhaps lack of collaboration in other markets that are grappling with how to address open banking?
Yeah, I think, you know, collaboration is the key, and it's, you know, it is the we're Canadian after all, so that's what we do naturally. And so I think we're quite proud of the way we have those conversations with the, not just with the regulatory bodies, but also with, you know, some of the other players in the ecosystem. I mentioned Payments Canada earlier and their mandate for modern payment systems and the conversations that they're having across the board, including Interac, because we believe that we've got a great solution for that opportunity. But I think, you know, collaboration is just the way we actually get on with the business.
Do you think that there are, we like to talk winners and losers, although we don't like to talk winners and losers. But in this situation, maybe we should say who could potentially be disadvantaged in an environment where open banking becomes a way of doing business and a competitive practice. Who could find themselves on the other side of that opportunity if they're not careful?
Oh, I think, you know, I think the notion of disruption in any industry, and I guess you could characterize the financial services industry as, you know, being in the midst of changing and technology driving some of that disruption. I think there's always going to be the scenario where there's probably people ahead of the game and people who are, you know, deciding to sit on the sidelines. And I think for entities deciding to sit on the sidelines and not helping to shape that dialogue, not helping to shape the, you know, or choosing not to participate, I think there's a natural scenario here where they're going to be disadvantaged. And we've seen that in many other industries. I think this is no different, that, you know, the notion of openness is, it's a reality. We're characterizing this as openness, by the way. It's really all about access, right, and data being at the center of that. But I think, you know, if that's an entity that's thinks this isn't happening or is trying to stop it from happening for whatever reason, I think that's a challenge. So, you know, we kind of look at the marketplace, and I guess, you know, to your question, there are three things that we really look at, which is, and one of those, by the way, is make sure that you're engaged in whatever the regulatory conversations are happening, so understanding that landscape. The second is, and in no particular order, by the way, is having a perspective on APIs, because that's the tool for the industry right now, APIs, SDKs, whatever, you know, you need to do to ensure that you have capabilities to connect, interact, and share information. And the third, which might actually sound probably late to the game for some people, but I still find it kind of crazy that people haven't thought about this, is having a perspective on developing their digital capabilities, because that's the reality of the marketplace for consumers. You know, we are, as consumers, we are gravitating towards that digital experience. And so in Canada, we're embracing that. You know, whether that be through mobile or working with third parties or in-app, you know, setting the landscape for connecting all of those devices in an IoT space and eventually, you know, really leveraging the technology from an AI perspective. But I think you're sitting on the sidelines is not an option.
Where do you see banking? Look out 5 years. You know, I gave a presentation earlier in the week, and I asked, I told the audience I was going to take them back in the time travel machine, and I took them back 5 years, which, you know, it sounds like, well, that's not very far, but we've actually done a ton of stuff in the last 5 years.
I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
I know, it changes every second, it seems. But, you know, just the things that have happened in the last 5 years have moved payments and commerce forward in just exponentially. And so, you know, you look at these five-year windows that used to mean, you know, nothing is going to change. It's like watching paint dry because nothing moves fast. I think it's very different now. Where do you see banking in 5 years in Canada?
Well, I think it's still putting the customer in, at the center. That's what, you know, that's what we're all trying to do. I think it's about delivering those rich experiences. So those rich experiences may be partnering, the banks partnering with other entities, and they're doing it today. TD partnering with Moven, and I'm just, you know, to mention a few, CIBC partnering with Borrowwell, Scotia and Bank in Canada partnering with Sensible for electronic receipts. Those things are happening. I think you'll see more and more of that. I think, you know, you'll see, I think we're probably ready for kind of a conversation in the industry around, you know, push payments and for, you know, the technical geeks, the ISO 20022 element, compared to the world of ISO 8583, which is the card-based payments that we've been, that a lot of the innovation has happened on. And I think you'll see kind of a merger of both of those things in a variety of use cases. But I, you know, I think you'll see a lot more partnerships out there, and hopefully, you know, that's at a, with a focus of delivering some amazing new capabilities to the customer, whether that be consumers or businesses.
I hope you're right, and you said a key word, focus. I think, you know, focus is good, and you sometimes need to have a lot of chaos before you start to winnow down the field of really interesting, viable, serious applications and use cases that can drive real value for the ecosystem. It can't just be good for one party. It really has to work for everybody. And I think that's what excites me. I think we're starting to see some of that focus emerge and some really powerful things happening.
I completely agree. I mean, as I joke, I'm exhausted, but you know, I've been in the industry for a long time, and I'm every day there's something new. It's so exciting. It's you know, breathing life into some of these ideas that many of us have been kind of grappling with. I think the technology allows us to do that and do it with some other players to kind of bring something amazing to the market.
Well, doing what you said earlier, and I think is so important, keeping the consumer's trust. You know, it's the financial institutions and the networks have earned that trust, and I think you know, it's an important asset to build on. So that's the key in all of this. Well, Debbie, it's been a fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you have a good rest of the day and a good weekend. Get some rest. Get some rest.
Thanks, Karen. Hope to see you at Dive-Off.
Yes, see you soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great rest of the day and a good weekend. Bye now.